Anyone have a song? Not open your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 20. Oh yeah, time changes Saturday. I knew there was one other thing. Time changes Saturday night. I'm glad you reminded me. Yeah, it leaps forward, and you'll feel like it's midnight by the time we leave here on Wednesday night after that hits the end. But it'll start getting light soon.
Huh? We get out
whatever. I just go when they say go and come when they say come. Exodus chapter 20. Here we find the Ten Commandments. I get a lot of questions sometimes about the Ten Commandments. You'd be surprised. I talked about the other day the churches that we had to fight and battle with when the alcohol issue. Another thing that we fought a lot churches with is when we wanted Ten Commandments left up in courthouse. And you'd be surprised how many people fought in churches and how many preachers fought against that. And they, and I'm of this opinion, you know, number one, I can't understand, and even though the Supreme Court at that time ruled against it, having five liberal votes, that's why it's so important to have a majority on there. But, you know, to me, how hypocritical is it to say that we can't have it in our local courthouse, but they can have it in the Supreme Courthouse? And it's engraved in the door, and it's engraved over the head of the Chief Justice. And I mean, to me, it rings hypocrisy all through it. But I want to show you a couple things just about the law. And sometimes you're caught up in having to answer questions. And I know people look at Ten Commandments, they say, why do you have those with the Sabbath and different things? And we'll talk about just a little bit of those things here in a moment. But begin reading with me, if you would, in chapter 20, verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which had brought thee out of the land of Egypt, and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, and that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations, of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. First of all, let me establish a couple of things with you that you need to get focused in your mind about. And I know most of you know these things, but if you turn back to the book of Romans and Galatians, I want to look at a couple of verses there if you don't care. So turn to Romans chapter 8 and keep your finger there in Galatians, and I'll show you a couple verses, a few verses in Galatians. First of all, it's important to understand that these laws were just not laws given to Jews, but they were given to us, the law was given to us to let us know what God expected us, how to live, and what to do. Notice if you would, I told you Romans 8, but before I go there, I want to look in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, in verse 20, I want you to understand that the law cannot save anybody. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Also notice if you would in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, notice if you would in verse number 11. but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So, number one, when you deal with someone about the law, the Ten Commandments, they need to understand nobody can be saved by the keeping the Ten Commandments. Remember, the rich young ruler told Jesus that he'd kept them, but Jesus proved to him that he hadn't kept them. The second thing I want you to know, if you would, in chapter 8 of Romans, where I started taking a minute ago, keep your finger both in Romans, and we're going to bounce back and forth there in Galatians. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In other words, there is something in all of us that keeps us from keeping the law perfectly. We're not made, our sinful flesh, our carnal minds, we fail to keep the law perfectly. No one has ever kept the law perfectly other than Jesus Christ. Now, in James chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, in verse 10, you've read it before. But there, James reminds us that if we've broken one point of the law, we have broken the whole law. So some people says, well, and you'd be surprised how many people believe that they are keeping the Ten Commandments, and how many people believe that they have not broken any of those. And yet the Bible says if we've broken one point of the law, we've broken it all. And we can't, it's beyond our ability to keep the law. Look on, if you would, in Galatians chapter 3, in verse number 10. Here the Bible says that for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, if you're trying to live and gather interest to heaven by living by the law, you just continually get deeper and deeper in sin by doing that and the curse that would be upon you. Look in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, notice in verse 16. The Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even when we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So here he's again letting us know that we are saved by faith in Christ Jesus, not by works of the law. These people that maintains this idea that you can be saved, be lost again, they are looking to the works of the law to keep them saved. They're looking to the works of the flesh, and it's impossible to do that. Look on, if you would. Keep your finger there in Galatians. Let's go over Romans chapter 7 a moment. In Romans chapter number 7, the reason the law was given, the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, in verse number 7 and 8, says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of conspicuous. For without the law, sin was dead. In other words, the law was given to us to reveal to us the fact that we are sinners. And you know, when you were brought to God through Christ Jesus, it was because you recognized the fact you couldn't save yourself by keeping the law, and therefore you had to put your faith and trust in the finished work upon Christ, upon the cross of Calvary. Now, look, if you would, back in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, notice, if you would, in verse 24. Paul said, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. In other words, the law is one that revealed to us that we have sinned. You know, anyone who does this, we could go right up here at top, we could go all the way down. But how many times have we put other things before God? How many times have we done other things? How about even honoring your mother and father? I mean, how many times have we dishonored them in certain things that we've done? Now, you've got to remember this. When you study the law, there were 366 laws. They were divided up in two kinds of laws. One was ritual laws. The ritual laws is what was given to Israel, that they were particular Israel was to keep those laws, and they were to keep them in the service and worship of God in a tabernacle and temple. They were to do sacrifices. They were to do certain holy days and have certain Sabbaths. All those things were particular to Israel. Now, the seventh day Adventist and several of those, they hold on to this right here. This is a ritual law. This is not a moral law. The ritual law, the Sabbath, if you go back in the Old Testament study law, God said when he gave the commandment of the Sabbath that that was between him and Israel. Israel was to abide by the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. We are not to do that. And we are not to bring animals, live animals in here and kill them. We're not to do certain feasts and all the things that Israel did. Turn, if you would, Colossians chapter number 2 real quickly. Paul addressing this very point, he says this in chapter 2 of Colossians in verse 14, or verse number 13, he said, "You, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." In other words, he's talking about Gentiles, people that was not Israel. He goes on in verse 14, he says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." When Jesus died on the cross, he died and he nailed the Sabbath day to the cross. He nailed the sacrifices to the cross. He nailed all the different Sabbaths that they recognized to the cross. All those things. Read on with me. Verse 15. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink." Some people say, "Well, I don't eat any unclean meat." Jesus nailed the unclean meat to the cross. We no longer abide by unclean and clean meat. We no longer abide by not planting but one type of seed in the field. For instance, we put corn and beans. You put corn and beans in the same field, haven't you? Israel couldn't do that, because they were a separate people and it was to show their separation. That's what circumcision. Some people said, listen, I followed the Bible and I circumcised my son. You probably didn't, because that was done on the third day and it was done, or on the eighth day rather, and it was done on several different things. But Jesus nailed that to the cross. You might do it for sanitary reasons, but you don't do it for ceremonial reasons. All the ceremonial ritual laws was nailed to the cross of Calvary when Jesus died. And he allowed Gentiles to have access to God, and therefore we don't have to go through the types and shadows. Read on if you would. Look in verse number 16. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect to any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." We are of Christ. All those things were the shadow of him, and they pointed to him in certain things and had Israel looking to him in those things. The other type of law is moral laws. The moral laws are moral laws that we are to abide by. "Thou shalt have no other gods before us. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images." All those things are moral laws. And so therefore, we need to abide by those. Jesus did not do away with those laws. Those are commandments that are still given here. The only commandments he done away with are those that dealt with the rituals of their worship of Israel that was types and shadows of Jesus. And when Jesus came, he died on the cross of Calvary. All those things were nailed to the cross. Now, Seventh Day Adventists and several others and Jehovah's Witnesses and all them, they come together on Sabbath day. Also, the Armstrong group, they came together on the seventh day. They tried to hold on to this ritual law. The ritual law is not for us. As a matter of fact, Paul made it clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 that on the first day of the week is when we come together and we bring, as God has prospered us, into the storehouse of God. And so therefore, we have that. Now, you've got to remember this as well. The reason why we are to keep the moral laws is because when we keep the commandments, we do it because we love God. Notice if you would in John chapter 14. If you want to turn there a moment, I want to look at two verses there real quickly. John chapter 14. Notice if you would in verse number 15. Jesus speaking says, if you love me, keep what? Keep my commandments. Now he's not talking about the Sabbath and he's not talking about the rituals because he didn't do the rituals himself. There were certain rituals and so traditions that they had that he didn't do. He's talking about the commandments, the moral commandments. Look if you would in verse 21, same chapter. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. In other words, what we do is we keep the commandments because we want to honor and love God. That's why we keep the commandments. Now, the thing, and in 1 John chapter number 2, verse 3, John reminded us that if we keep the commandments, we can know that we are born again if we have the desire to do those moral commandments. And when we keep those commandments, we do it because we love the Lord. Now, you've got to understand when you look at these things, and we looked last week, last Sunday night, we preached on where Israel had broke the first, broke the second commandment there. When Moses up on the mountain, they built a golden calf. And if you notice, Aaron built an altar and pretended to worship God. And you say, well, that's crazy. Well, it's not crazy. And what happened is this. Everyone else in the land at that time, except Israel, was what they call polytheistic. Polytheistic means they have more than one God. They have all kinds of multiple gods. Egypt, where they were slaves for 430 years, they had a sun god, they had a water god, they had a moon god, they had a frog god, they had all kinds of gods, snake god, they had all kinds of gods that they worshiped. And so what happened was, when Israel was away from God, and they got their hearts away from God, they thought that they could make an image and worship God. We're going to get back to that in a moment, why we are not to worship God through an image. And so we'll touch on that in a moment. But turning your Bibles, if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Israel was the only one that was not polytheistic. They were monotheistic. Monotheistic means they had one God, and they only believed in one God. Doesn't mean that there's not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but there's only one God, Jehovah God, and those three all being one, part of the Godhead. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 4, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and all thy might. And these words shall I command thee this day shall be in thy heart." Now remember, Jesus also said that they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And he quoted this commandment, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might." And then he also said, the second and same is it, and that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, what he was saying is, these commandments teach us how to treat God. They also teach us how to treat each other. And so therefore, what we do is to learn to do that. Now, in doing that, what he doesn't want is he doesn't want their hearts to cleave to other gods. Look, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 45. I'm going to bring it all together here in just a second. Isaiah chapter 45. And because God is the only true living God, Therefore, he has a right to do whatever he wants to. But notice you would, chapter 45, in verse number 18. The Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there what? There is none else." Now we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Look if you would in chapter 46. Chapter 46, verse number 5. He says, "To whom will ye liken me, or make me equal, or compare me, that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him. They set him in his place. And he standeth, and from his palace shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble." Now, again, if you look in Psalms chapter 115, Psalms 115, I know I'm taking you several places, but I want to get a thought together here in just a moment and bring it all together. Psalms 115. Psalms 115, verse number 1. "Not us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They make mouths, but they speak not. Eyes that have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." Now, let me just pull this all together just a moment. First three that we have, there's a reason why God gave these commandments. Number one, Israel, like I said, was monotheistic. They had one God, the only true living God. All these other nations everywhere had many more gods. And so therefore, he said, "It's an insult to me. I'm a jealous God. It's an insult to me when you claim that any other God is equal to me. There is no other God besides me. There is no other God that can equal me. He doesn't run against any God." And he said, "What you've made gods is what goldsmiths and silversmiths and people working with lumber and so forth, they build things that can't walk, can't talk, can't see, can't answer, can't do nothing. And yet they bow down to worship them." Now let me get on graven images a minute. And you need to understand this. I've had some people say, "Preacher, I don't wear a cross because I don't want to wear a graven image." Now, this is my thinking. You can do what you want to. I don't like crosses that has Christ on them. I'll tell you why I don't. Number one, no one knows what Jesus looked like. And I'm not sure that what they portray Jesus looking like he looked like. Now, number two, he's not no longer on the cross that I serve, that I worship. He's risen. And now, it's all right to have a cross in your church, but when you begin to bow down and do a homage to it, then there's a problem. Therefore, when you have a statue and you come down here and you bow down, and by the way, why have any other statues in the church? What use is a church? One of the dumbest things I ever saw. We went to a amusement park in Santa Claus, Indiana. And we drove by Santa Claus First Baptist Church. And they had a stupid statue of Santa Claus out there in their front yard with a bag full of treats or gifts and had the name of their church on there, Santa Claus First Baptist Church. I thought, how stupid could that, brutish Chris told me not to use the word stupid. We'll use a biblical word, brutish. Listen, why do we have any statues? There's only one God. And you know why God doesn't want any graven images? There's not an image that you can make to exemplify who God is. Do you understand that? I don't care what you do. You say, well, listen, foolish people paid thousands and millions of dollars for a piece of toast that come out and had the image they thought of Jesus in it, or Mary. They paid thousands of dollars for certain relics that they made with man's hands. And you know why God is offended with anyone, any graven images? Because there's not an image alive or no man alive that can make an image that can justify who God is. He's above any image. Therefore, listen, we could wear a cross around our neck, but if we pay homage to that cross, kissing that cross, saying Hail Marys through the beads, whatever it may be, then we've sinned. Because therefore what we've done is we put something in the place of God. And we put a graven image in front of God. Therefore we are not have any graven images. And the same thing is where he's talking about taking his name in vain. Somebody said that means just using his name as a curse word. No, it's just that you cannot use his name out of any other context. Now listen, young people. If you got a habit of saying God or Jesus Christ and you're not talking about who and what they really are, you break yourself right away. Because anytime you do that, you're taking his name in vain. And listen, he is upset over his name because he's jealous of his name, because what he wants his name used, when you say God, he wants you thinking about the true living God in heaven. He doesn't want you thinking about anything else. And to use it out of context of that, then what you've done is you have desecrated his name. And nothing else can compare with him. And so therefore his name is to be a name above all other names. Therefore we are to worship him. He is one God. And so therefore what we need to understand is the reason why we do these things is because we love God. And the world may not see it. And I went one time, I'll never forget, I went yard selling up in Cincinnati. We went in this guy's yard, and he had the most vulgar mouth of anybody I ever saw in my life. He couldn't say two words without one of them being a curse word and using God's name in vain constantly. And I just got back in the car and left. I thought, I'm not going to spend no money with you, buddy, because just insulted me. But the thing about it is he insults God. And the reason why God put those three commandments is this. There's nothing, no one like him. And therefore, anything that you try to put in a way of approaching God other than his son, Jesus Christ, you offend God. And therefore, that's why he put those commandments that we are to live by. So when you run into these people that ask, do you all have, I've had people tell me, preacher, you have 10 commandments in your church, but you all don't meet on Sabbath day. And some people say, well, Sunday's our Sabbath. That's not true either. Sabbath was to Israel. We meet on the Lord's day, the day that Jesus resurrected from the dead. It's a day of new beginnings. It's the first day of the week. John called it the Lord's Day. And so therefore, that's why we meet. And we can have those commandments, but we have to separate the ritual laws from the moral laws. And you have to understand the teachings of law and understand that Jesus nailed the Sabbath to the cross of Calvary. Amen. Let's stand tonight. I know you said, preacher, why do you preach on things like that? Most of us believe that. But you know, I always want you to learn to be able to give an answer when you're asked out there from certain ones and you're challenged by certain ones. Because sometimes I've heard people say, why do you do this? And people, oh, I don't know. That's just what we do. You need to have an answer for people. Amen. Let's stand.